They're very specific. My girls give links, you know, to things so that I don't even get it wrong. I can't get it wrong because it actually goes to. So that's real nice. And that's how I discovered they could do that stuff in Word and things like that. So that's amazing. But anybody else make a Christmas list? Anybody? No one? Wow. That's amazing. One other one. Man, so basically my kids and you, we're the most selfish ones out of the whole crowd today. That's amazing. We actually wanted something today. So, you know, on average, the average American has 30 wants for every one I give. That's a lot of wants. So, you know, maybe the greatest thing is we should just figure out how to create a bigger I give list than an I want list. So I was reminded of a story where someone gave to us as a family at Christmas time. And this was years ago. And during this Christmas season, we had family from California coming up to visit. We had everything going on that is involved with Christmas craziness, the cooking and everything. And this was Christmas Eve morning, right? Or was it, yeah, Christmas Eve morning or Christmas Day morning? Christmas Day morning, it was that. My memory gets blurred on that. It all happened at Christmas time. And that particular morning, I was speaking to a group of people from Africa, giving a Christmas message, Christmas Day morning. So I was away that morning, and all of my immediate family and then all of my extended family from California was in at my house. And while I was away, that's when we had a gas leak in the house. Yeah. And so in that moment where I was completely out of reach, speaking to some Nigerians and in my best Nigerian accent and having that, I come back to find all my brother-in-laws with pickaxes and shovels and smiling in the middle of the winter as they're hacking holes, huge holes into the foundation and floor of my house. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then with smiles, they're like, your house has got a gas leak. This is awesome. And I'm like, you guys are deceased. What is going on? You know, and I'm thinking, it's Christmas Day. What are we going to do? And the girls are already in triage. You know, they're like, none of the stoves are working. None of this is going. It's crazy. You know, we vacated the premises, all this kind of stuff. And so I make one call to a guy named Randy. I call Randy up. I was half expecting him, like anyone else, not to answer his phone on Christmas Day. But Randy answers his phone. He's got this big bushy beard, hair that looks like it's never seen a brush. He's got a lazy eye that when he looks at you like this one is looking for an escape. And he's just the nicest guy in the world. And he answers the phone. He goes, hey, this is Randy. What do you need? And I said, we got a gas leak. He goes, I'm on it. I'm right over there. No other qualifications. Wait until I'm done with stuff with my family. He says, I'm coming right over. And sure enough, he came right over, checked everything out, fixed whatever needed to be fixed, and then it was on and done with. And I love Randy. I love him because he was kind. I love him because he kind of put his Christmas Day on hold so that he could come over and help us. He could have said, well, just put it on hold. Go do everything you're going to do at someone else's house today. Tomorrow I'll be there. But instead he put his day on hold and a very special day to come and help us out. You know, that's a pretty awesome, kind, giving thing to do at Christmas time. I think throughout my life, the things that stand out and speak to me the most are those acts of kindness that I see people do. And I am very appreciative. Someone in the church gave our family $100 just recently. And yesterday, we went ice skating as a whole family, plus one. And we had little hot chocolates and coffees and all that kind of stuff. And we partied and goofed off all day down there at the, you know, the Titletown District thing, which was beautiful. I didn't fall while I ice skated. It was amazing. And but I did weave in and out and try and scare everyone else and all that kind of stuff. And I sat there at the end of the day and thinking, wow, we just enjoyed the kindness of somebody else in the church. They didn't know it until now. I'm just saying it. And I'm telling you, those things are the sweetest of things in life. They make life worth living, don't they? Anybody else know what I'm talking about? When someone does something for no reason other than just being kind, it just lightens the load, softens the journey, and it's just wonderful. Kindness is so important. And today, I want to talk about a topic about giving gifts, but not just any gift and not just kindness, but whatever gift God is asking you to give. I want you to think about that for a second. If God were to be here today and he said, I want a gift, whatever that is that he's asking of you, would you be willing to say, yeah, I want to give that to you? If it's just an act of kindness, would you give it? If it's something bigger than that, what if it is something tangible? Would you give it? Your time, your talents even, or your treasures. What would you be willing to give if God said, I want this? Or would you say, yeah, sure, maybe you can give something else. Anybody watch The Christmas Story? You'll shoot your eye out. Even Santa Claus told him, no, you're an idiot kid. You're going to shoot your eye out. I'm not going to give you a gun. Your BB gun is not good for you. I'm not going to give it. Ho, 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 as he pushes him down the thing. You know, if God says, in essence, I want a BB gun, are you going to be the Santa that goes, ho, 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 not on this Christmas. I'm not going to give you what you asked for this Christmas. Maybe come back next year. I think a lot of times when God asks for things, we have more of that attitude in us than we do of the attitude of, yes, I'm going to make it happen. Whatever you want, I'm going to give it. And that's really at the heart of this message today. I hope to convey that truth through the story of Joseph. So let's turn now to the story of Joseph. The reason I like the story of Joseph and the reason I want to focus on it so much is because this is a story of a man who gave exactly what God asked him to give. Joseph gave exactly what God asked him to give. And the gifts that God asked him to give, they involved kindness, they involved his faithfulness, they involved his provision and protection, and it involved his courage. Did you get all that? It involved his kindness. It involved his faithfulness, his provision and protection, and his courage. And all of these gifts that he gave came at a great personal cost to himself. These costs included his reputation. In that small community where he was raised and lived and had his livelihood and all of that, his reputation was smeared. He was judged. And not just that, but he put himself aside, denied self-gratification and all of the things that were selfish comforts, creature comforts to him. He put all that on the back burner so that he could deal with what was necessary. And then at great financial cost, he provided what God asked for. And at great cost relationally with his family, he had to leave his family and all these things. Great cost family-wise. And then at times, he had to face his fears with such boldness that I feel most of us read the story and we don't realize how much courage Joseph had to have in order to give the exact gift that God was asking for. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, I want to read verses 18 and a few verses from there. When you're there, say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. All right, so starting at verse 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ happened as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to just put her away secretly. But when he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she's going to bear a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. And all of this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin will be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep, and he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Kindness. Kindness. You know, what God did to Joseph there is pretty big. And I don't know about you, but if I was told the things that he was told, it would be very challenging for me to be kind. I don't know about you, but in times of tension and in times of pressure, kindness is one of those gifts that is very short in supply. It could be just simply right as you're, you know, crushing to get everything ready just to get to some appointment right on time. That's when it's somehow socially accepted in your family or in the world to just skip the pleasantries and say, get in there, do this, blah, blah, blah. And you bark at each other and you're just short with each other. Or if somebody doesn't do what you're supposed to think or expect for them to do, that suddenly gives you a right to bark at them or yell. Or if you're maybe having some stomach cramps, that's the day that you have all the permission granted in the world to just yell, be short, or whatever. I don't care what it is. You didn't sleep good that night, so then the next day you get to chew everybody out. And it's amazing to me that kindness in this day and age is in such short supply. And, well, that's really just in the relational context of friends, right? Because if we're talking about enemies or people who don't agree with us, there's no kindness whatsoever. There's not even tolerance. Even as much as we talk about tolerance, if you're different from me, I already hate your guts. I'm not even going to give you some acknowledgement. I just want to overwhelm you. I just want to overcome you, beat you, win, be stronger than you. Where is kindness? I'm reminded of the words of Longfellow. He wrote this, "Kind hearts are the gardens. Kind thoughts are the roots. Kind words are the flowers. Kind deeds are the fruits." Take care of your garden and keep out the weeds. Fill it up with sunshine. Kind words and kind deeds. I just feel like I need to be a Teletubby or something when I say this stuff. You know, I was at the pig. I was at the Piggly Wiggly. And I'm in there. And I'm buying some ice cream for the angel tree party. Buy my ice cream with all this sherbet. Put it on the thing. And go through. And there's a young kid at the cash register. And another young kid at the little bag thing. And I'm going through. And the person right in front of me was probably a little straining in their tolerance of social kindnesses. Slower than normal. Confused. This card didn't work. This thing didn't work. What was that? What do I push? What? Huh? What was that? And at the end of a long, drawn-out, simple checkout process, it was my turn with just the little ice cream stuff. I show up. Like, you find what you want? Oh, yeah, I did. No looking, no nothing. Beep, 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 beep. Plastic's good, right? That was the other person. Put it in there, and I go, well, you guys have a great Christmas. And no response from the cash register lady. And then the person at the bag goes, I said, thank you. And they went, yeah. And I was like, oh, the tension is like thick right here. I was like, man, I almost wanted to stay and just say, somebody needs a hug. Someone needs a hug. You're an angry little elf. You know, I just wanted to do something like that. And then I probably would have been punched or sued. I don't know. But it amazes me how high the tensions run in this time of year and how short the kind words are. And but then there's other times where you see kindness just overflowing. You look at the person, and even before you get there, you're almost prepping yourself for a tidal wave of kind sweetness. Like we were walking out of, what's the big Cabela's? Walking out of Cabela's, and there's an army of adults dressed like children, by the red kettlebell, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling-a-ding. And they are dressed in all of these kitty onesie things, Christmassy stuff. And I went out there the first time, and the first time I was like, oh, no. Because I do like goofiness, but I have a limit. I have a limit. And when I reach it, it's hard for me to be kind. So I really did one of these. I started to sigh, and then I just did this. I walked. Took another step and just waited for my wife and kids and just stood right there, knowing I'm going to have to go through. I'm going to just do it once, though. Just once. I'm not going to wait. And then finally, when it was time to walk through, I went through. And I knew it. Every one of those faces. Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Happy New Year! And I'm like, this is overwhelming. Stop it. I don't even have change. Bah! Humbug. As I walk by. And I sit there thinking, man, they have so much Christmas kindness. Would you give some of that to the pig? Maybe I need some too, you know? And it was just amazing. There's so many extremes of kindness. I thought of this child's prayer. And this prayer is so sweet. It says, dear God, make all of the bad people good this Christmas. And make all of the good people nice to me. And I thought, wow. That's something a kid said in their prayer time this Christmas. They may not have realized how profound that was, but there is a big difference between being good and also being nice, or just being good and a pain in the butt. There's a lot of people who are good and right, but you can't live with them. I want to be kind, and I want to be easy to live with. It makes me think of this quote from Peter Marshall. He said this, oh God, when I am wrong, make me easy to change. Okay, I'm going to read that one more time just because we all need to hear it. So, oh God, when I am wrong, make me easy to change. Take a deep breath. This wasn't your quote. This was someone else's. And then he says, and when I am right, make me easy to live with. And when I am right, make me easy to live with. Wow. See, why am I thinking of this now? Is because this is the first gift that was asked of Joseph. Joseph was all ready to be married to his young, virgin, beautiful bride. Betrothed. It was really, the deal was done. It just had, they haven't reached to the date yet. And it was in a culture where virginity was highly prized, so much so that they had all kinds of customs to verify their virginity, all kinds of rules surrounding that, and all kinds of traditions that if they had a questionable character, if they had made the horrible mistake of sleeping with someone prior to marriage, it came with great consequence. They may never be married again, maybe. They may even suffer all kinds of shaming publicly and all kinds of problems publicly. And in this moment, she is found pregnant, ready to have a child. And Joseph has every right. And in fact, because he was such an upright man, he had an obligation to guard his reputation and to hold to the standards and keep those Jewish people pure and on that right path. Every single thing that was a part of his culture told him to do one thing. That's hold the right standard and put her away. But there was something in him that said, I just can't do it like that. And there was a kindness that was dormant in his heart that started to come to the surface. And he says, even though I know what is right, I don't want to shame her or embarrass her. And so he was thinking in ways how he could be kind, even in doing what was right. And he made up his mind to put her away privately and in quiet so that it would be the least possible way to shame her publicly. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a great kindness. In that culture, that was a great kindness. So what about you? When somebody in your life it rubs you the wrong way this Christmas season, just give it to them. Give it to them, okay? They deserve it. Especially if you're right and they're wrong. Just give it to them, right? Let them have it. Maybe even quote a couple verses. Open up to something and say, well, you heathen. Here, this is what you need to know because Jesus says this, and you are just not living up to that standard. You know what? And you just preach it to them, brother, sister. And once they've closed their ears and crossed their arms and are waiting for you to get done and deciding probably in their heart not to spend any more time with you this Christmas season, and that's just your kids, you know, and I mean, whatever it might be going on in their mind, then you just say, well, there you go. Now you're in God's hands, you know. You can choose that way, but I tell you, choose the gift that God might be asking you to give this year. That's when someone does something wrong that deserves to be told and put in their place. I want you to think of Joseph's story, and you are probably not in the same extreme circumstances as he is. About to get married and then find out your wife is a dirty cheat. And in that moment, will you give kindness? Will you be charitable? Will you turn the other cheek and not give what is deserved, but give instead something loving and kind? I'm telling you, that's a gift. Is that what God's asking you to give this year? Maybe it is. But then we move on in this story. This story is something else that is amazing too. It's a story where he is proving himself faithful in so many ways. It's not just faithful, but then there's provision and protection and there's courage. Now, when I talk about faithfulness, Joseph shows faithfulness in two areas. Faithfulness to God, but also faithfulness and commitment to her, Mary. And these are two important areas of faithfulness that is a gift that God might be asking you this year. When I say faithfulness to God, I'm referring to right here in the verses that we read, he was a righteous man. Now, I'm not talking about that he was accredited righteousness. I'm talking about he was living right. He was doing what was right. That required obeying the laws and following through with the customs and doing everything that the law required of him as a Jewish man. He was faithful in all of those things. His giving of alms and going to synagogue and doing all the other things that were required for the festivals and the feasts and the sacrifices and all of those things. He was faithful in those things, just like he was trained. So on that aspect, there was some right standing with God that speaks to every one of us. I don't know about you, but faithfulness in your heart towards the Lord is still a requirement in the kingdom of God. The New Testament theology of grace and the covenant we live in did not do away with live rightly. And you have to be willing to give God the gift of living rightly in a world that doesn't want to live rightly. Can I hear an amen on that? Come on. You know, we live in a culture that God says, I want you to be holy as I am holy. That means set apart from something, for something. And when he asks us of that gift, we have to be willing to say, God, I will give you my heart. And that includes everything that heart is attached to. My mind, my hands, my feet, my mouth, everything that I am giving to you, and it is for your purposes. That's set apartness. So then your body, don't use it for dirty things. Your eyes, don't use it for dirty things. Your mind, don't use it for dirty things. And where your feet take you, make sure they take you into good places and good things. And your hands, make sure your hands do things that are appropriate. Treat people ethically, kind, do it because it is a gift to God, and nobody else can judge that. But God will hold you and I accountable. The day you and I see Jesus face to face is a day of reckoning. You will not get a second chance. This is your only life, and in this life you live it as either unto the Lord or unto yourself. Live it unto God. That is the gift that he may be asking of you this Christmas. Joseph was practicing that. Give the gift in that way. Be faithful to God. Because of that faithfulness to God, it is shown in obedience. See, love is one of those things that, I'm not sure when I said this recently, but I was talking about love, and I was talking about how love is seen because of the action it compels. Love isn't seen because we say we love. Love is seen and experienced because we act on it. Jesus loved us, and we know that because he came in the flesh. God loves us, and we know that because he sent Jesus in the flesh. And you know, Petraea knows I love her because I spend time with her. My kids know that I love them because I spend time with Petraea. No, I mean, but with them. And you know what? We know each other loves each other because we call each other. We talk to each other. We check up on each other. We do things that are kind and interested in each other's welfare. We ask. We spend time with one another. Now, if you don't care about the people in your church that you're sitting next to, then just tell them today, you know, I've never really loved you and I probably won't change. But if you've ever called someone and said, hey, I'm curious, how are you doing today? You are showing them love. So please don't mess it up by saying, how come you never call me? How come you never show me love? That is not love. Love shows itself by being selfless, not seeking its own. So don't be focused this Christmas on how everyone else is loving you. Stingy, bad person, stop that. Love everyone else. You show love to them. Shift the tables. That's the healthy way of doing it. So when we see this faithfulness with God and then the faithfulness with men and all of this come into play with Mary, he shows obedience to God because God speaks to him in a dream and says, don't put her away, marry the girl. And he goes, okay, God, I love you. I'm going to do what you say. And then he follows through with it. And can you imagine the moment when he comes and tells Mary, Mary, it doesn't matter. I'm gonna marry you. Can you imagine the tears? Can you imagine the relief? Can you imagine the shift in even her own heart? All the tensions and the fears all just melted away because a man, Joseph, who has every right to do one thing, says, I'm going to obey what God told me to do, and that means I'm going to love you, I'm going to marry you, and I'm going to stay with you for the rest of my life. That is loving faithfulness. And I'm telling you, we need that. So this Christmas, love for God might be showing up in the way you love each other, and you probably need to turn to someone in your life and show them that you are faithful to them. Not because of how they're faithful to you, but because God showed faithfulness to you when you were unfaithful. And now you're going to show faithfulness to someone else, even when they're unfaithful. We love even the unlovely, don't we, as Christians? That's what we're called to do. So that's what we'll give this Christmas. So if God is asking you to give faithful commitment to someone, will you say yes this year? Will you say, yes, God, I'm going to be faithful. Doesn't matter what I get in return, but I'm going to be faithful. That's what Joseph showed. But then I look at the other things that go on in Joseph's life. You know, the minute he said yes to God's command to give faithfulness and commitment, it had responsibilities that were attached. The minute he said yes to marrying Mary, came all of these obligations, and they were very real. They're not all just ideas and philosophy. These were real ideas. That meant that he had to provide for her and the child who wasn't his. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? He had to provide for her and the kid that was going to be born. Oh, wait a minute. You know what? Let me back up and say this about faithfulness. This is awesome. Think about this. When I say faithfulness to God and faithfulness to have a heart to the Lord, do you realize that when he was married with her, he didn't have sex with her until Jesus was born? That's crazy. That is crazy. What in the world would possess anybody who's married not to have sex if they could? That's nuts. I wouldn't do that. I'm telling you, that's half the reason why I wanted to get married before Jesus came back. Like, Jesus, don't come back until I get married, because, you know, anyway. And then that's half the joy of getting into a marriage relationship, a committed relationship. And here we have, you all laughing, you go, that's crazy. It is. It's real, though. And the funny thing is Joseph showed the level of faithfulness to his standards and priorities and his obedience to God. When he had every permission, he still practiced the fruit of self-control. That, to me, is a level of faithfulness that God might require of us that is so profound. Give that kind of a gift to God. Woo-hoo-hoo! So if you're single, be single. You know what? Why? Because God might be asking that of you, and so on and so forth. But now we get to this place where this baby's going to be born. And what is Joseph supposed to do? He's going to have to provide and protect. Now, what is happening in all of this? Well, in this same moment, Joseph gets a dream that there is danger. And because of the danger that is coming towards this baby that is being born, he's got to get up in the middle of the night and take Mary and the baby to Egypt, flee and stay there until the threat is gone. What's the big deal about that? I don't know about you, but when you agree to give the gift of love and faithfulness to somebody, you have to be willing to pay the price when it's inconvenient and it's inconsiderate of what maybe you would do if you didn't have those responsibilities. I do a lot of things now because of my family, because of you guys, because of God, that if I was all by myself, I wouldn't be doing any of those things. I'd be doing other things. Like when my daughter in California sends me a picture of Spooner's Cove, this beautiful cove with these big waves, and I'm going, "Dear God, there's ice and snow. Why?" And then I remember, I told God that he is in control of my life, and where he leads, I will follow. So I took a snapshot of us in ice skates next to a Christmas tree with lights in 30-degree weather, and because it was cold at night then, and then sent it to her. And we're like, that's right, that's good. And then I'm sitting there like, secretly, I still want to be there, but I mean, this is good in Jesus' name. You know, it's just so funny how we've got to be willing to pay the bigger prices because of our faithful commitment to the Lord. He had to move his family from where was home to a place that was foreign, a different culture, a different ideology, and all these things. He left everything. Would you be willing to give God this kind of a gift this year? If God said, I want you to change jobs, would you change jobs? If God said, I want you to move to a place you've never been and do something you've never been prepared for, would you be willing to make those kinds of sacrifices? If God called you to something like the mission field, would you be willing to leave the comfort and the security of everything that's predictable in your own life right now to go share the gospel with somebody that might not even accept it or might not even accept you and maybe even put your life in danger? Would you do that kind of thing? Would you do the kinds of things to say, even in the daily sacrifices, God, I'm going to give my time to pray. I'm going to give my time to study the word. I'm going to give my time to show up to church. I'm going to give my time to do this and that with my talents and my abilities. That sometimes is the gift that requires sacrifice on a whole new level. Are you willing to do that? To give up your dreams? If you're not willing to do that, what if this Christmas, God says, I want you to give up your dreams? Can you do it? Joseph did. He left everything to provide and to protect. What about the finances and the money involved for the things that God does? You know, it's so sweet when we do a thing like the Angel Tree program. We raised $800 almost when we did our dinner theater thing. We didn't charge anything for this event. I didn't take up a single offering on Friday night. Some of you could say, thank God for that, you know, because you're tight budgets and I know you're going to give gifts and things like that. But you know what? Moses, who came, that 10-year-old boy, had the best night of his Christmas experience. And that's because people gave and sacrificed. And we will continue to give and sacrifice in those ways. And that's just the beginning. We've got to give more. But we can't do it if you don't tithe. And a tithe is a 10%. Now, I'm not beating you up with the law. The tithe started before the law. It continued through the time of the law, and it's continued after the law. So you can't say that's a part of the Old Testament. It is a part of the Old Testament, but not a part of the law only. It's a part of your heart commitment to the Lord. So give 10%. That's your starting point. And if your budget's tight, I know everyone's budget's tight, but give. And give as unto the Lord. Why? Because that sacrifice provides for what God wants to do in someone's life. And it's not selfish. Because it's not benefiting you. It's benefiting someone else. And the church today is hindered in so many ways because people don't give. Now, our church is a giving church. When we did our first and our only collection for our building fund, we got right at $10,000. Wah-wah! That's awesome. We don't even have a real building yet. We have this building and I like it, but you know, one of these days we're going to get another building. Well, we got to start saving up money and providing for that. So all this money now is getting built and put into a whole separate fund. That's great. But what about the other needs that go on? We've got to be a giving people and we've got to be a giving church. Amen? So in this culture, that's not normal, but we're not normal people. We're peculiar. So we give and we do these things and we provide. Now, what about the provision for the people that sometimes come through these doors? Are you willing to give for those people that come through the door? Now, I'm going to make this very personal in this sense. Some of us are so consumed with our own kids and our own family, you can't even make the sacrifice to include someone else. Now, that's a special kind of gift, and God may be asking you to give in this way. And I'm telling you, I'm challenging you. Do not isolate your love to those you have DNA with. The family of God is bigger than who grandma and grandpa is in your natural self. Love grandma and grandpa in the natural self, but some people don't have grandma and grandpa in the natural self anymore. All they've got is the people that they sit next to on a Sunday service. Well, why don't you call them up and ask them what they're doing? Why don't you invite them to your house? And if your attitude is, well, you don't know what that would do to our family. I mean, for starters, we'd have to clean and we'd have to find out. I mean, how do we even fit them in our house, Pastor Ben, that it's so. And then the awkwardness. I don't know how to talk with people when they're sitting in your house. I'll gain 20 pounds just keeping my mouth full with food. I don't know what to say. And we don't drink, so I can't be comfortable. You know, and the tension starts to rise. Oh, get over yourself. Get over yourself. When you see somebody who doesn't look like they might belong, well, be the bigger person. Be the bigger person and say, hey, you know what? Can you come be in our house? And if they say, oh, no, I don't want to impose. Well, it is going to be an imposition, but you're worth it. And I love you. And you just invite them and pull them in. But if you're one of those people that you only give sacrificially to those you have blood with, you're missing out. And if God is asking you to do something bigger, well then, man, think bigger than just your family. Invite more in. Amen? That's a whole level of provision and protection that is very, very needed and important. I mean, can you imagine the day that someone who is in need of real protection and they come to you as the Christian brother, the only maybe Christian brother, sister that they might know and say, hey, I need someplace to stay tonight because this is happening, this happened. Will you be the one that says, well, you know what? You've always got a couch right here. Come on. This is us. As long as you need it. You got it right here. Can you do that? That might be the gift God is requiring of you this year. So then we move on and I see this. Courage. And this is the last point today. Courage. How I want to talk about this is simply when Joseph found out what God was requiring of him this Christmas season. Part of what God did is he challenged him to trust the leading of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was warned. He was told, first of all, to marry Mary by a dream and a vision, wasn't he? He said, don't do this. Do this instead. That was a dream and a vision. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. And then when there was a threat to the baby's life, God spoke again through spiritual means. And he had to not just do spiritual warfare. He had to pick up and move based on something spiritually he heard and understood. And then he was told, don't leave Egypt until I speak again to you by dream or vision. So here's what I've got to say. Are you the type of person when God says, I'm going to speak to you this Christmas in the Holy Spirit and through things that you might not understand in the natural, and it's going to require you to give me a gift of courage? You're going to do something that you would not have any earthly reason to do, and your only explanation is just, God told me. What? That's crazy. It is crazy. It takes courage. And courage is one of those things that is possible because you trust the power that's backing you up. It's bigger than all the threats and all the things causing fear. God is so much bigger. When you see the enemy, you hear what he says and you go, I feel the fear, but I'm going to do what God told me to do anyway. That is courage. Like the fireman. When the fire's going, but he knows there's a job that's got to be done, he faces the flames to get the task completed. And when God says, do what I want you to do, and it's spiritually discerned, you got to be bold. You got to give it. And that takes guts, real guts. Man. Sometimes it just boils down to God tells you to say something to somebody. Well, be bold. Brandy. So I pointed at you, but it was really Brandy. And when Brandy gets up and shares that testimony, you know, she just loves public speaking. She just really does. But then, you know, the Lord moves on somebody else's heart, who then says out loud, I think somebody got something to say. And then Brandy's thinking, oh, man. Now there's more than just one people, because I said, you better share today. This is some good stuff. And she's like, all right, I'll do it. She's so obedient. I love that. But then the Holy Spirit speaks to her, and then she runs up, and I'm like, oh, God was getting her already. I didn't even need to say something. God was saying something already. I just love that. See, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you got to be bold enough to say, all right, I'm going to do it. So if God says to you today, stop and pray for the waitress or the waiter that's at your table today, or tells you, I want you to leave your home right now and go to your neighbor and talk to him about something, you better be bold and go do it. Who cares if you look silly or foolish? If God tells you an instruction to do something, call somebody, change something in your life, pray, get the peace of God, and respond in obedience as unto the Lord. If you do that, you are giving him the gift of courage, and especially if it addresses your natural fears and insecurities. Be bold. Do what God tells you to do. That's a gift I want to give Jesus this year. I want to give God that courage. So faithfulness, I want to be faithful no matter what. You need to be faithful no matter what. Kindness, you need to be kind no matter what. Protection and provision for what it is that God's asking, you got to be willing to give all those things. But you've got to be willing to give courage too. You know, the goofy thing is Joseph had other kids too. Joseph had other kids. He had at least 4 other boys. And we don't even know all the other girls. The whole family had to give. The whole family had to give something. We don't know much about Joseph's life after about those teen years when Jesus was about 12 years old and they came back. And that's about the last real interaction we know that Joseph was on the scene. At some point, Joseph died. Because when Jesus went into ministry in his 30s, his mom and his brothers came asking him. And you know what? Jesus was the firstborn. He had responsibilities. And instead of having those responsibilities filled by him, he was neglectful of those duties to go do the work of the ministry. The same thing that started when he was 12 years old. Family went home. He stayed. They said, what's up with this? And then he's like, I got stuff to do. This is my father's house. When he was 30, instead of being the firstborn and taking those responsibilities, he was saving the world. And you know what? That put all kinds of weight on the next kid. That put all kinds of weight on mom. And they stood outside asking for an audience with Jesus at one point in Matthew. And he said, who is my family? Not them. It's the family of God. He put all of his eggs in one basket. And that meant those even in his life had to be willing to give when someone else was bold to follow God. And so, dads, this is for you. You take responsibility for your gift giving this year. Come on, dads. I want you to be bold and courageous. You be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, protection and provision, all of that. Faithfulness and kindness. You do what God puts in your heart to do. But know this and don't waver one bit. When you follow God, your wife is going to have to pay, and so will your kids. And you've got to be ready to help them. You got to be ready to encourage them and say, come on, guys, it's worth it. Make the sacrifice. God is asking this of me, and that means God's asking this of you. And that's challenging for a family. So encourage them to make those same gift sacrifices. Amen. Let's stand and pray. We've got a wonderful week ahead of us. I don't know what the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you today, but I want you to just close your eyes for a second and ask yourself, what is it that God is speaking to you right now? Through this message of the gift that God is asking of you, are you ready to give it? If you were in Joseph's shoes, would you give what God would have been requiring of Joseph? And today in your life, what is it that God is asking of you to give him this Christmas? And are you willing to give it? I want you to be able to write that stuff down in a journal or somewhere in your life. Before this day is up, make it a point to sit somewhere by yourself and kind of put it in writing. Tell yourself, tell God what it is you believe He is asking you to give this year. Come on, church. Don't just let these be empty words. 90% of what pastors say is forgotten the very same day he preaches it. Do not forget this. Be obedient sheep in this one thing. Find a quiet space all alone and write down. Young person, write it down. What is God asking for you to give him this year? And I want you to write it down. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just your Spirit's tugging on our hearts and calling us to action this year. And Lord, I ask that every one of us be moved in our spirits and willing in our spirit's disposition to give you what you are asking of us today. Lord, let this Christmas season, the most important gift list be yours, what you're asking for. And let us as the giver, just with great joy, give freely what you are requiring. In your name I pray this. Amen. Well, church, you are dismissed. If you have special prayer requests or prayer needs, please come down, pray with Trish and those at the altar. Other than that, love you and get on out of here and have a great Sunday afternoon.